get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Ball Don't Lie, episode 152, man. We're back. It's been like a little two-week hiatus because of All-Star, the little break. There was a couple games, couple days where we had 3 days last week. No basketball, actually no sports whatsoever. And I don't really know how I did those 4 months with no sports during quarantine 2 years ago. Man. But we are here, Patreon subscribers. You can see us. So shout out to y'all. If y'all are watching this, that means you are a member of the $10 Barber's Chair All Access tier.
Brought one with me. Had to bring the blunts back for this.
Now that we had to bring live. The blunts back for this one. and if you are listening to this, allegedly, that's all it is. But so we here, man. A lot of hoops to get into. Of course, you know to follow us on Twitter at Barber's Chair Scott, at October's on Tay. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram, man. And if you are subscribed to the Patreon, we appreciate you. And if you haven't subscribed to the Patreon, what the fuck are you waiting for? Subscribe. Patreon.com/TheBarber's Chair Network. We've got three different tiers. We got the Summer Sessions tier, where you get all Summer Sessions episodes, including the video. We had our first Summer Sessions video last week. We'll be doing that. Will not be an episode this week because me and Pav will be covering the Clippers games. You know, if it's covering on Thursday, we don't have a pod, so we won't be back. Won't be here this week, but we'll be back next week. And if you want to see everything, listen to everything, if you want pods from, if you want videos from the pods, it's even on the free feed, $10 all access tier. Fuck with that. Holla. $10 holler. And then me and my brother Flows, we've got the 79th and Hallis tier. We're going to be dropping the first episode of 79th and Hallis Presents, where we live react to classic Chicago Bears games. We did the Hester game against the Arizona Cardinals, or for a lot of you who know, is they are who they thought they are game. So the first episode will be free on the Barber's Chair YouTube, but starting next week, it will be only on the $5 79th and Hallis tier. So fuck with that, man. I'm done with the promoting, so let's just get right into it. So, man, Embiid and Harden, two games in, man. These guys had a hell of a game these last two games. Blew out the Minnesota Timberwolves on Friday night. Had a nice little close win on Sunday against the New York Knicks. They've been looking like a well-oiled machine. They had over 60 points combined against New York last night. And mad fucking free throws, man. But what's your impression of these two games? Now, of course, these are against a play-in team in Minnesota and a team that just straight up stinks in the Knicks. But what's your impressions of these two so far?
I mean, they are everything we thought they were going to be, G. I mean, when you put one of the best wing players and one of the best big men in the game together, and you bring that to the pick and roll game, G, it's not much you're going to be able to do with that. Are you talking about two? One is an MVP, former MVP, and Embiid. He's still
front runner, but with Harden, I think it's gonna hurt his chances a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I hesitated when I said that. But two MVP candidates on the team together. We always talk about the teams at the end of the day. Don't get me wrong, we always talk about chemistry and, you know, having a deep rotation and X, Y, and Z. But the teams with the best talent win, like the cream of the crop is usually who's gonna horse that trophy at the end of the end of the season. You know, last year it took KD having a big toe on the line to stop Brooklyn from getting to the finals. So
I like how he's messing with the Milwaukee fans prior to Saturday's game. He said they was like, "You got to get a smaller shoe." He said, "No, we just gonna win it this time."
Right, exactly. But no, they've been you know, as expected. I won't say as advertised because, you know, we just got them, but it's been what I expected. And I think going forward, it, as you know, when you get into the playoffs, it's gonna be a matter of who can stop that pick and roll, you know, four times in seven games.
I'm with you. I mean, it's like you said, it's pretty much what we thought it would be. I mean, these are two superstars on the team. I think Embiid, we can officially say a superstar. I hate having this debate on Twitter because it's like people don't know the definition of superstar. I think with entertainment in general, but especially with the NBA, to me, superstar is 50% on the court, 50% off the court. Like, you can be an on-court superstar, but I don't think you're a league superstar. Prime example, Nikola Jokic. He's a basketball superstar, but if niggas who don't watch the NBA don't know who the fuck he is. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's not box office, you know, so that's why I don't put him in there. Like, Embiid is in there. Embiid got mad commercials. You know what I'm saying? People know who the fuck Embiid is. But you got these two. And like you said, it's small sample size against two weak ass teams. I'm not gonna call Minnesota weak, but Minnesota is in that play-in tier. Now they might be in that they actually make it to the playoffs play-in tier, which I think they will. But they're not like, you know, a contender or anything like that. But
right, exactly.
I think the thing that still stands out to me is who the fuck is gonna stop this pick and roll? And as a Bulls fan, we already didn't match up well with the Sixers without Harden. Like literally, and Harden was messing with Zach and DeMar doing all-star practice. Like the Bulls have never beaten the Sixers since Joel Embiid has played. He's 11-0 against the Bulls in his play. And so you have to add Harden to that. And we already can't defend the pick and roll. That pick and roll looks unfucking stoppable. I think Tyrese Maxey. Is it Tyrese or Tyrone? I think it's Tyrone.
I'm not gonna be the one to fuck his name up. So I'm
gonna I don't wanna fuck his name. I got my computer up right here. I don't wanna fuck the brother's name up. He's Tyrese Maxey. Yeah. So Tyrese Maxey put in another 27 last night. He's looking like the three to their big three compliment. And I was talking to one of my friends yesterday. He said, "Man, I can't believe that the Nets gave up Harden without getting Tyrese Maxey." I'm like, "Well, they got Curry, so you know they had to give up one of the two." Yeah. Had to give Seth is a hell of a ball player. I think Seth
can hoop his ass off.
Seth can hoop. I love Seth's, like, you know, rise to the top. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, no, but you got to think Seth has the underdog story. They tried to give his big brother.
100%.
G League, you know, American or some shit. Like, just
Steph is my favorite. Steph is my favorite player, but people seem to forget how big this nigga was on Davidson. Like, LeBron and them niggas came to watch him hoop. Like stop it, bro. He took Davidson to what was the Elite Eight? Like that never happened before. Steph is not no fucking rags to riches story. Like I don't give a fuck how small the nigga was at the time. He's swole now. Right. You know, I done been around Steph the last month a couple times. He ain't small no more, nigga. But you know what I'm saying? His story is different. His brother, he went from that's Steph Curry's little brother to G League to being he's a solid 3-point shooter to he's a solid role player. This dude can hoop. Like, he's a straight-up great basketball player. He's going to give you out there. He can give you 20 points a game. He's had, like, 25-plus since he's been on Brooklyn. I think it's a great addition. I think that's the only time where this trade actually benefits both. And we'll get into the Nets in a second. Now, as far as the – you know how national media does. I'm not really mad at national media. A lot of people get mad at, like, the first takes and the Skip Baylesses, the Shannon Sharps, because they talk about the same shit every day. Maybe I look at it from a creator point of view or a guy who puts together his own shows. It's hard enough for us when we come together, put together our rundown for a weekly podcast. I can't imagine having to try to find content for a daily 2-hour show.
On a daily basis.
You're going to talk about bullshit. And I also think people forget it's called First Take. And the Shannon, so these are debate shows. So they're doing this shit to go as I don't really get mad at that. But the Kareem Magic comparisons need to chill. The Kobe Shaq comparisons need to chill. Kareem Magic won 5 rings together. Shaq and Kobe won 3 rings together. Let's relax. The Harden still has a lot to prove come playoff time. And I don't hate Harden like I used to. I actually appreciate Harden's game. It's the same thing. We can sit with our boy DeMar. I love DeMar. I think DeMar is having a motherfucking
definitely career
MVP in career year. But he still got to beat them DeFrozen allegations come playoff time. It is what it is.
Yeah, so that's the facts.
And same thing with Harden. So I'm not going to get too much dip on my chip and say they're unstoppable or this, that, and the third. But it's a good start, and I do think they have a solid chance to be the number one team in the East.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at that, you know, the Bulls schedule coming up, and you still got Zoe and Caruso out, and Brooklyn as well still waiting on KD to come back. They only 2.5 games out of first place. Is it Brooklyn or Miami in first place?
Miami's in first place.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, Miami.
Brooklyn's eighth.
Hey, I'm tripping. I don't know what. Yeah, that's my fault. But no, Miami. Miami's in first place.
Yeah, and Philly is 2.5 back. They're a game and a half back behind the Bulls.
Yeah. And so, you know, like I said, grabbing Harden from Brooklyn. That's probably why I said fucking Brooklyn. Grabbing Harden from Brooklyn. They have an opportunity to really end up as that one seed because the Bulls they got to run the gauntlet in March.
Yeah.
And, you know, they go do half a March without their top two defenders. So that's going to be an issue.
That's a good – I'm going to give my opinion on this when we do third pick. What's your opinion on the Bulls? Like, with, you know, everybody saying they can't beat big, good team. I kind of feel like it's – them niggas ain't played with three of their best players.
That's my issue. It's still up in the air for me because it seems like, and it's like it's coincidence. People want to call it excuses, but every time they've run up against a big team, somebody's been out. Like for the most part, it's only been like one or two games where they had
games where they had full squad.
Yeah, they had full squads, but like other than that, it's been just somebody has always been out. Yeah. And so until I get them all on the floor and see them play together, I'm not going to sit here and say that. But I have noticed that how suddenly, you know, the tide is switching. Everybody's just saying, oh, they're the biggest fraud team, or Boston's going to knock them off. And like,
you know, what's funny about that? This is the thing why the Bulls will never be able to win here, right? If they beat these quote unquote elite teams in the regular season, everybody say, well, you know, playoffs are a different game.
Yeah.
Now, because we don't beat them, and there's no context to that. Like, the actual, this is not a stat I'm making up. The Bulls have the most games missed due to injury and COVID than any team in the NBA. They have had their actual starting lineup for, like, five games.
Yep.
Five games. We forget. Pat had his surgery on Halloween. That's how goddamn long he's been out. And so when people say, I can't say if they're a contender, a real contender, or not yet, because I don't have – what is this team like? And then we can sit up here where Caruso and Zoe shouldn't mean that much. Look how Phoenix is without Chris Paul.
Exactly.
Phoenix is a cool basketball team without Chris Paul. They're not a contender with Chris Paul, and that's one player. Zoe and Caruso are the backbone of this defense. They don't what's called – who they play the other night? Ja doesn't – I'm not – Ja gets – Ja's going to get his. But Ja don't score 46. With Zoe and Caruso on.
Right, exactly, bro. Like,
and even if he scored like 30, that means the Bulls won that game by like 10 or 15 points.
Yeah, because like without those two, our two perimeter ball stoppers, we can't stop a motherfucking soul. Like,
yeah.
You got DeMar and Zach who are actually playing out of their mind. You know
they balled out on Saturday.
Exactly. It's just the fact that we can't stop anyone. That's really been the issue. So that's my thing. I got to see the whole team back together before I sit here and try to write them off. Even though like I'm on a different level, I don't want to buy into the hype too soon.
No, I don't buy into
the hype. We already said this season was about just proving to Zach that we are serious and we contend, that we want to be contenders, and that's what we've done. You know, the third seed right now is overachieving. Everything right now is overachieving. That's not me giving up, just being realistic.
That's the only way. The only way the Bulls I can leave this Bulls season disappointed is if they drop to the play-in. That is literally the only way I could be disappointed by this Bulls season. Besides that, they are playing with house money, in my opinion. Because y'all got to remember, this is year one. I feel like NBA windows were 4 to 5 years. The D-Rose window is 5 years, but three of them years were sacrificed because Derek was hurt. So this team, and you got to look at it like this. I'm not expecting the Bulls to win the East or win the championship. So many things we have to break in the Bulls' way. And all respect to the Suns. A lot of shit broke in the Suns' way. A lot of shit broke in Milwaukee's way. But that's fine. You play who the fuck you play. So a lot have to break. And I also feel like you have to have a superstar to win championships. So when you're trying to measure this team, you can't have a team that doesn't have a superstar and they missed three of their best players. You can't judge them like that, in my personal opinion. Now, I do say when healthy, I think there's only three teams that when healthy, I feel like, you know, we wouldn't be. I mean, I feel like, oh, well, yeah, we'll probably lose to them. That's Philly. That's Milwaukee. And to me, when Brooklyn's healthy, and mandates and everything, all that shit's clear. And we'll get to that later in five. Them are the only three. I think we can beat Miami. I understand Miami plays great defense, all that shit. Miami don't score enough.
Yeah.
Miami don't score. And I love Jimmy Butler. You already know Jimmy Butler is my guy. I'm not worried about going basket to basket with Jimmy Butler in the fourth quarter. We got DeMar and Zach. I'm not worried about that. So,
yeah, no, I feel you.
And also for like long-term too. What I love, I don't know if anybody hasn't checked out, check out Casey Johnson's interview with Michael Reinsdorf. Michael Reinsdorf, I've never heard a Bulls owner, whatever, say this. He said, I have no problem paying in luxury tax. And this actually kind of showed how bad Gar Pax was. He said, Gar and John never presented an opportunity to get into the luxury tax that I felt this team has a legit chance of winning a championship. He said, Arturas has already presented these opportunities to me, so I have no problem paying the luxury tax because that's how you win in today's NBA. So that tells you a lot about them. That's all I need to hear, man. So I'm not and also that Zach is getting that contract. I'm talking about July 8th, when the clock hits midnight, he's gonna look outside his window and it's gonna be a Brinks truck. Yeah. I'm not worried about that shit in the slightest, man. But I'll get more on the Bulls this week on third pick. Me and Mariano will talk about that. But let's talk about a team. Mariano. Shout out to Mariano. Let's talk about a team that, you know, I said countless times, I'm tired of talking about them. But after this couple last couple games, I want to talk about these niggas. The Los Angeles Lakers. The Los Angeles Lakers, I've got it pulled up right here. I've got the standings. The Los Angeles Lakers are 27-33 right now. They are the ninth seed right now. They are 3.5 games behind the Clippers for the eighth. They have lost two in a row. They are 3-7 in their last 10. And they just got their asses whooped at home by 30 points by the fucking New Orleans Pelicans, dog. Had fucking CJ McCollum. And I got even CJ. He been hooping since he got to New Orleans. CJ and yeah. Brandon Ingram went crazy on them niggas. And it got so bad that the Lakers were cussing out the fans. Now, here's Bro. This is my thing on this. You know, me and you, we always talk about fans need to stay in their place. But I'm also on the side of, if you play like shit, you get booed. It's that simple.
That's why I said, bro, it's dark for the Lakers right now. Like, we thought it was bad when LeBron was bitching about Memphis. He said, y'all gonna stop talking shit. Like, we thought that shit was bad. Bro, this is next level, bro. He really asked the fan. He said, what you really know about basketball? Besides, ball go in the net, ball come out the net. I said, no, Bron.
You can't do that.
And then Russ, the shit really sad for Russ because bro from L.A. So for him to be telling him to take your ass home, even though if you don't like it,
take your ass home.
Yeah, but that's, come on, bro.
Trevor Ariza calling a dude a bitch.
Like, Ariza, you fucking, you played with Kobe, G.
He's from LA too, though.
Yeah, you one of the reason one of them banners is up there. Like,
that's how long Ariza been in the league. He was on the 09 Lakers, nigga.
He was on the 09 Lakers, G.
And they traded Ron Artest.
He's also the same nigga who sent his address to a fan in Houston and said, pull up. So,
oh, no, I'm not saying Trevor Ariza.
I'm not surprised at all.
From what I know from being out here for 8 years, Trevor Ariza ain't no bitch. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah,
so if Ariza tell you to pull up, he dead ass. But at the same time, that don't mean you get soft.
It's sad. It's dark for the Lakers, bro. But
it's dark, and it's, nigga, Jeannie Buss left in the third quarter. In the third quarter of this game.
Versus the Pelicans, G. It wasn't even like the Warriors beating their ass or something.
Like, nigga, you had the Clippers come in there on Friday on national TV. And shout out my man Cam with Voice of the Fans, which is on H&B Media TV. We cover the Clippers, me, Cam, Pav, TPJ. And we at the beginning of the year, Cam asked us, how much would it take for Terrence Mann to average 15 points a game? And Pav was like, God. That's how much it'll take. So, like, every time we'll be at the Clippers game, it'll be fourth quarter, look up T-Man only got 7. And we'll be in the press room, like, there go your boy. These niggas had T-Man dunking, talking shit, like, acting like he that dude. And this is a Clippers team without Paul George, without Kawhi Leonard, and without Norman Powell. And they went out there and got disrespected. So, it's like, if you can't beat the Pelicans at home, nigga, what's the point of them even being in the fucking play-in? Like, and I seen shout out to Thomas TPJ Hoops and Brews. They put out a question today that said, does missing the playoffs affect LeBron's legacy? Now, I hate getting into these legacy conversations, and I will say that LeBron's legacy is solidified, but I will say this, it hurts it in the fact of you were expected to be a championship team when those trades went down. By the way, any niggas with eyes, aka me and you, we was up here saying this shit, they not going to the finals. Now, I don't think either one of us expected them to be this bad. Like, they're legit not a good basketball team. I just said they weren't going to the finals. I still, in our preseason episode, we both had them finishing top four. I had them winning at least 50 games, and then they would just probably go home in the second round. This shit is bad. So when you go out here and you're expected to be a contender, and you made all these moves, and you go on Twitter talking about, please keep the same energy, da-da-da. Don't get mad when niggas keep the same energy, dog. If somebody is great as LeBron, you have to at least make the playoffs, dog. Like, and anybody's bringing up, well, Wizards might didn't win to make the playoffs. Cool. Nobody expected the Wizards to make the fucking playoffs. Nobody expected the Wizards to win the championship. It's two different situations. So, yeah, it doesn't hurt his legacy per se because LeBron is solidified. He's top 75. He's the second best player I've ever seen. But when it comes to not living up to things, you got to at least make the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
No, you're absolutely right, G. Like, this, as far as hurting his legacy, I mean, you're right as far as you have to make the playoffs. As far as hurting his legacy, I think it'll just be more talk for right now in terms of, oh, he's washed, it's over with, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think it'll make a major effect. Like, when people start looking, when it's over and people are looking back.
Yeah, nobody's going to remember this.
They're not going to be like, oh, yeah, he, you know, the Lakers were trash. They got a bubble championship and that was it.
I remember this in my debates, but
yeah, I mean, of course you will. Yeah, absolutely. But no, but it's really a where do the Lakers go from here type of thing, because it's like now, because like we said, even though the Lakers are trash, LeBron is still playing very well. So
he's balling. He's balling.
Do you try to move Bron? Like, do you just blow it up in the offseason? Try to, you know.
Can I name another issue I have with – here, this is the thing. This is the thing, man. And my issue with LeBron, I have not had a problem with this nigga's game since that bullshit he pulled in the 2011 finals. That was the last time I had an issue with his actual game. The reason I have an issue with LeBron James is I think – he's passive aggressive. I think he's a fucking front runner. And when things don't go his way, he always want to cry. So last week, of course, we didn't have a pod last week, so we didn't get to talk about this. Last weekend, he spent all weekend flirting with the goddamn Cavaliers, doing everything but saying, I'm going to come back. Like, he did everything. I know, the door's not open, not closed on that. I always got love here. And then going out there kissing Sam Presti's ass, talking about, oh, I love how Les Snead says, fuck them picks. That's how it should be, which is a shot at Rob Pelinka, which is ridiculous, because what has Rob Pelinka done since LeBron has been there? Give up picks. That's literally all this nigga has done.
Whoever he wants.
And Brian Windhorst was on Rich Eisen last week, and he said how the 2018 season with the Cavaliers, how LeBron was disinterested and didn't play well, and they were like at 500. Then bought them little bullshit trades they made at the deadline with Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, and this nigga last on the bench. Now. We got a squad now. And now this nigga plays well again. He said the Cavaliers traded for LeBron. They traded to get an energized LeBron. He said the Lakers might have to do the same thing here. I understand player empowerment. I get that. I love player empowerment. But at the same time, you niggas need to let these niggas do their jobs. I feel like players should be able to decide where they want to go, but at the same time, let the GMs do their jobs. And then when they don't do the job, when you have the influence, then you want to get mad at them niggas. So that's the problem I have with that. And then you're going to go up here, you lose to the Clippers, and you get mad at some media member and say, well, you always putting words in my mouth. If you remember Laker Nation, don't listen to this dude. Nigga, you was doing everything but actually signing on paper. I'm going to the Cavs last fucking week. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he said they should be proud to have three All-Stars.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, this is worse than trying to hijack the fucking the parade.
Oh, I remember that shit. Yeah,
it's like, come on, but from the Rams, like, come on, bro, yeah. That's a clown. That's like clown shit.
It's clown and, shit, bro.
And it's really disappointing because, like you said, like Lakers are going out sad. So it's like, you're going out sad,
and it's like, then it's like, it's just like little small shit that just like, I think he's a great player. I'm gonna keep saying this. I'm like Stephen A. Great father, great player, philanthropist. I love everything LeBron does from that. He's probably a great dude. If I actually got to sit down with LeBron, he's probably a cool nigga. But we from Chicago. I hate corny. We smell corny niggas a mile away. And this nigga's corny. But anyway, we can keep going this all day. The Lakers have hit rock bottom. And I don't know where the fuck they go from here. If I was LeBron, I would get that knee surgery and bow out for the fucking rest of the season. But we know he on his stat pad. He want to get past Malone at least to the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm disappointed because, you know, like, because I was always a Kobe guy, so I still fuck with the Lakers. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I don't hate the Lakers. I like the Lakers. Yeah. Once LeBron is off this team, I'm cool with the Lakers.
Yeah, but it's really like to see what's happening. And we always know, you know, for our generation, and well, shit, for the Lakers, as long as they've been owned by the Buss family, you know, they grab superstars. They just keep it going. They just keep it going. But you really start to wonder what's next after this because, I mean, AD is nice, but, like, you can't rely on him.
You can't rely on him. Despite the fact that I don't think he's a leader as a true number one, he has a talent to be. He's never you know, actually lived up to it. This nigga can't stay healthy.
Unless he switched to high tops. I don't know what it is.
I don't know if he didn't drink enough milk as a kid. I don't know what the fuck it is, but this dude.
It's bad, bro.
It's bad. He's out for the rest of the regular season. Woj just said he's out 4 to 5 weeks with that foot injury. That's basically the rest of the regular season. So would you, if you're the Lakers, what's the point? If I'm the Lakers, I would find a way to shut both of them down because what does a play-in game against the fucking Pelicans or Blazers do for you?
Shut Bron down. Let Russ, you know, do whatever he does. Even though Stan Van Gundy made a very good point. He was like, he said, the Lakers are getting exactly what they should have expected from Russell Westbrook. Like, yeah, he's averaging like damn near what he averaged last year.
Yeah,
it's like it's the exact same guy. This is who you traded for. So
yeah, that's why I'm not mad at Russ.
All of the outrage is ridiculous.
For everybody who's talking about Russ is so bad, like, did y'all watch Russ the last 3-4 years? This is who the fuck he is. Y'all just didn't care because he's putting up triple doubles and playing with scrubs.
Exactly.
But when he's in the spotlight, now it's a fucking problem. So that's the thing that like irritates me with this team, man. But that's all I got to say about the Lakers. I want to talk about their across hallway rivals because I do cover the Clippers and I'm required to at least talk about these niggas. So I'm just going to give y'all a little update. Paul George had his MRI on Friday. It looked clean, but he's doing better. But the expectation is they still don't know when the fuck he's going to play. They said he still needs more time to rest it up. Now he's been traveling with the team, which he's been doing that ever since he got hurt. Every time I've been at the game, showing up to the game too. He's been there. Kawhi's been there too. There's no update on Kawhi. My personal opinion, now the Clippers haven't ruled anything out. I do think it's interesting that the bobblehead dates leaked for Paul George and Kawhi. Maybe that's just me being, you know, aluminum foil, third eye open shit. Right. I think if we don't get any updates on Paul George by the next 2 weeks, I think that he's going to get shut down. As far as Kawhi, we ain't heard shit. Like, you know, he's still doing the same shit he's doing, working out for the game, but we don't know. If it was up to me, I think that they're going to be like, yo, this team is good enough to make a play in. We'll see what we can do. Mm-hmm. And we made these trades that this is going to be a deep roster come next season. That's what I personally think about it. So,
yeah.
And I think it'll be the same thing with the Warriors, too. Like, you know how the Warriors, they were so injured last year, but now the depth is helping them out. I think that'll be the Clippers next year.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you have those injuries, those lesser guys get more playing time. They get that experience, and that shit comes in handy. That's why I think, you know, not to keep, you know, harping back to the Bulls, and I'm sure y'all have touched on this in the third pick, but Ayo getting all this time in the starting lineup, he goes back to the bench, he's going to be a terror when you throw him on the second unit.
Yep.
So, like, that shit pays off. So I'm with you. Like the Clippers, like this year, you know, I feel like if they can't come back full strength, you might as well shut Paul and Kawhi down.
Yeah.
It's like you said, just re-rock it next year.
Yeah. I would give it like a couple more weeks. If I can hear me. What music is you playing, dog? Me? It was like you playing Baby Got Back. Oh, that's my computer. Shit. That's fucking ESPN commercial. I was like, nigga, what the fuck is this? I hope y'all can't hear that on the pod.
That's some free ads.
Yeah, that's some free ads. Cause you hear it?
No, I ain't hear shit. So they ain't
okay. Well, we good then. We keeping all this in there. We not editing this. We keeping y'all real life. I'm just gonna put this out. These are commercials, nigga. I'm not over here playing Baby Got Back. But anyway,
I was like, nigga, threw it back today.
I was like, what the fuck is that? But anyway. but let's talk about the Eastern Conference, man. The East, man, that top six. If you look at the top six standings right now, as we're recording this today, on 28th of February, tomorrow. When y'all hear this, it'll be March 1st. Now, of course, this might change because tonight the Heat and the Bulls are playing, so we don't know how this is going to change. But at the time of recording this, the Heat are number one, Bulls number two, Sixers three, Cavs four, Milwaukee five, and Boston is six. And all these six seeds are separated between five games. This is like a six-man elimination chamber, six-man hell in a cell. My question to you, who is the best team in the East, in your opinion?
You know, they say the best ability is availability. So I think right now the best team in the Eastern Conference, surprisingly, is the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, they faded off for a minute. They was like the sixth seed or some shit. And then, but you know, bringing in a guy like Harden, being able to keep Thibault and Maxey, I think that team, when you get to the playoffs, is going to be extremely tough to beat. And like Milwaukee, I know Milwaukee's like a sleeping giant, so to say. You know, they sitting right there at four. But I think I got to go with 76ers.
I'm not mad at that. I'm going to say Milwaukee just because I give champions a little leeway when it comes to the regular season. Because they don't give a fuck. When you become a champion, it's all about getting to the postseason. Yes, Philly's got a couple good wins on them. Yes, you know, they haven't really been that impressive, but they're still the champs. And I believe, in the words of Ric Flair, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Until somebody knocks these niggas out, I'm going to say that they're the best team in the East. They have the best player in basketball, period, in Giannis. And when healthy, when not when it's actually up, but like when they actually give a shit, it's gonna be hard to beat them. And I can't fully give it to Philly because we've seen this with every team that James Harden is on. It's a pattern now. We've seen this with Houston. We've seen this with Brooklyn to an extent. Yes, it's fine in the regular season. What are you going to do in the playoffs? So when it comes to playoffs, if I had to like rank my, you know, confidence, I've got the most confidence in the fucking Milwaukee. And that's just if, like you said, you know, being available, if, which is a big if, because we don't know, we're going to get to that in a minute. If the Nets are healthy and everything like that, then they, to me, they might be the team that wins it all if everything is coming correctly. But right now, I got to say Milwaukee.
I mean, like I said, like it's all, it's going to come down to who's the healthiest. That's what's really going to let us know who is the best team in the East. But I think right now, I got to give it to Philly.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, man, they got a big win on Saturday night over the Milwaukee Bucks. Kyrie Irving had 37 points, had a big game. This is their first win with him in the lineup since January 21st, I think it is, which is over a fucking month ago. And now they got some reinforcements coming. Kevin Durant is ramping up. He will not play any of these two games against Toronto, but the ideal right now, the idea is that he will be starting Thursday night against Miami. So that's going to be KD. He's going to be back this week. Ben Simmons, we still don't know what the fuck is going on with Ben. You know, one part saying he's still trying to
get ducking Philly.
That's what I think it is, too.
He ducking that's Philly.
On March 11th, he's going to be like Kevin Nash. When Kevin Nash had that fake leg, fake brace on his leg, he's going to be that. Now it's back tightness. I don't know. Did you see what Danny Green said about Ben? He was talking kind of spicy.
No, what'd he say?
So I'm going to find the exact quote here. I don't want to misquote him, but he was talking about Ben Simmons like ducking the smoke over coming to Philly on the 10th. Let me see if I got the quote here. Okay.
Danny Green still play? He still play for Philly, right?
Yeah, he's on the team, but I ain't actually seen that nigga actually play.
Okay.
At least I don't think I didn't see him yesterday in the game. I mean, if I did, he didn't have no impact for me to fucking pay attention to. So he said this is interesting notes. So this is from Danny Green's podcast. Now he has some interesting notes here on Ben's relationship with Curry and Drummond, and he says that his relationship with Curry and Drummond was not cordial in Philly. And he also said he'd be surprised if Simmons plays in Philly March 10th because he doesn't like playing in Philly and he doesn't think he's built for it. And he also doesn't think Ben would shake hands before or after the game. So kind of funny. I mean, well, I like when people talk spicy, and it's more truth more than spicy. I was about to say
that wasn't even that spicy because a lot of that I agree with damn near because I think like I said, as good as Ben Simmons is, he's a talent. He's a guy who's been coddled his entire career, like from LSU on. Like so, like when shit doesn't go his way, you see him, you know, be withdrawn. You see him back away. So like, you know, and somebody like Danny who was on a team with him, he knows how he can speak to that relationship. So it's not like some random player just coming out of left field saying, oh yeah, they don't fuck with that nigga. But I mean, he was actually in the locker room with them. So, I mean.
And of course, Seth came out and said, there's nothing wrong with our relationship. Because it's just you got to say.
We've got to say that. But,
but we all know the real.
The reason I'm not worried about it is that's KD's show. Like,
it's KD's show. But it's like, this is my thing with Ben. And I know we don't know what he's going on in his head. That's fine. Look. If I got to be the problematic nigga for calling out bullshit when I smell bullshit, it is what it is. I think that nigga full of shit. That's lying. He's lying, bro. He's fucking lying. I don't care.
I have a problem saying it.
Like, I don't have a problem. Y'all can say what the fuck y'all want about me. And I'm very careful with mental health. I get that. But nigga, this smell like bullshit. I'm just going to stick on it.
Like you just said, G, don't get me wrong. Like we're at a point right now where, you know, people are more open and honest about their mental health issues. We've had several NBA players come out articles about it. DeMar, Kevin Love, you're right.
Yeah.
But people like this nigga who use it and take advantage of it because you mysteriously, once you were able to, you know, get a trade on the table, now I'm ramping up. I'm almost going to be back. Cut it the fuck out, bro.
It's bullshit, right? Bro.
And I had somebody even try to give me the whole, well, you know, a hostile work environment, that can be tough on you. Like, no, he was underperforming. People called him out on it. And now you got mental health issues? Like, get the fuck out of here, nigga. No.
Tell your job. I have mental health issues. I'm not coming in tomorrow. Guess what? You ain't going to have a job tomorrow, nigga.
Right. It's too many people with real mental health issues for you to use this as a crutch.
Yeah.
When just the honest, the real thing is you didn't want to be there. You didn't want to be in the locker room with Embiid every day. Yep. So you pulled that car. And so, you know what I'm saying? You got what you wanted. You got traded. But, man, we can call a spade a spade. Like, fuck that.
Call a spade. For this Brooklyn Nets team has a lot of unlikable people on it. Like, honestly, if let's just keep it real. I don't like Andre Drummond either, nigga. Like, if
brother Kevin, Sebby about to start playing every game now.
We finna get in that second. Cause like, if KD wasn't, KD's my guy. If KD wasn't on this team, boy, I would hate this fucking team.
Oh yeah.
But KD is the calming force. Now let's talk about Kyrie. This is an interesting thing with Kyrie this weekend because he was pretty happy on Saturday. The lights coming out at the end of the tunnel. You know that big embrace he made with his daddy. Like that nigga hit the game winning shot in game five of the finals and shit. And you know it feels good. You know I can play in front of Barclays. Now, interesting thing. Sunday, it was announced that the city of New York will be lifting the vaccine mandate on March 7th. But here's the little caveat.
People didn't catch this.
There's a private mandate for workers. So yes, just because this is lifted, that means that spectators can come. They don't have to have a mandate. They don't have to wear a mask and all things of that nature. But the employees, which Kyrie is, he's a Brooklyn Nets employee, he cannot play yet because that mandate has not been lifted. Now, Woj just said that he thinks it's going to be lifted. Nick Friedel says he doesn't really know. And now Eric Adams, who's the mayor of New York City, he was on, I think it was MSNBC or something this morning, and he said, I want nothing more than the Brooklyn Nets to win a ring. I want that ring for the city. But at the same time, you got to understand this. My city cannot go into lockdown again. There's too much money on the line. And he said it would be unfair to workers to lift this mandate and make exceptions for one person. When I have all these employees of other companies who are not in basketball and things of that nature, who still have to abide by these mandates. He says, so we'll see what happens. And so, and here's an interesting thing, because Nick Friedel was on ESPN this morning. He said that when he left Nets practice this morning, all the air was like sucked out of the building. He said it wasn't that jovial, you know, optimism that they had after the original announcement came out. So what this tells me is I do eventually think the mandate will be lifted, but I don't think it's going to be lifted as quick as Kyrie thinks it's going to be.
He may like, you know, it'd be wild. It'd be dramatic as fuck if, like, it was lifted, like, right before, like, the NBA Finals or some nuts. Right. Like, you know, just, oh, like, a critical game seven. They gonna just, because, like, especially with him saying, oh, I would love nothing more than Brooklyn to win a ring for the city. But, like, I mean, at the same time, he made a very good point, you know? You have to consider everything in the scenario. Yeah. And so we've seen, you know, as far as mandates and things go, we've seen the country rush out of mandates and then shit peak and skyrocket, and then we right back into mandates. So it's like, we want to make sure we get this right this time. And, you know, I don't know if Brooklyn, a few months ago I was saying, you know, he'll get the first shot, just because a lot of times you need to get the first shot just so you can play.
He's not but getting now I really, he's not getting
Kyrie's it. Locked in. He's locked in. He's definitely
It's not happening. I do think the mandate will end, but I don't think it's going to end to maybe the end of the month. And that's going to leave him, what, 5-6 games left in the regular season? As of right now, if the mandate doesn't get lifted, he can only play 7 of their last 21 games. That's not fucking good. So, and I'm not going to get into specifics about mandates and shit. This is a basketball podcast. Right. You know, I do think this specific rule is kind of stupid. So, the 20,000, 30,000 people in the arena don't have to wear a mask. But the niggas who work there have to. Like, that doesn't, doesn't make sense to me.
Like, a lot of niggas will try to say you sounding real right wing when you say this, but like,
it don't make sense.
A lot of these mandates don't make fucking sense. They just don't. Like, I'm all for mandates. I had no problem wearing my mask. I wore my mask when I'm at work. But you have to tell me something that make fucking sense.
Yeah.
Don't change it up every 2 weeks. You saying this, he saying that. People get confused, you know what I'm saying? It's been all over the place this entire pandemic, and that's part of the reason why it's lasted so long in our country.
Yeah,
so,
and
like you said, G, it's dumb as hell. Like, the rule makes stupid. No sense.
Like, and we'll get off this in a minute, but I just wanted to say this. Like, my opinion on this is, like, I have no problem with these mandates being lifted in these arenas and cities with the decline going down. If the decline is going down and there's no variant overseas yet, because, you know, that's what happens first. Variant gets spotted overseas, and then it comes to the States about a month later. from the stuff I've looked at, we don't see anything coming anytime soon. So I have no problem with it lifted. With that being said, me personally, I'm still wearing a mask until we go at least a year with little to no COVID. When that happens, I have no problem raw dogging the air. So yeah. I see it from both sides with sides of my personal thing and why businesses would do that. So I get it. But yeah. as far as this specific thing, and I'm not defending Kyrie, anybody listens to this podcast, listen to anything I do, I can't stand this motherfucker. I'm a huge fan of Kyrie on the court. Kyrie on the court is a magician. I love watching this nigga play. But that nigga's a bozo. Let's just call it like it is. But this actual rule does not make sense.
I can't give him the bozo title.
He's
I
a think bozo, he... dog. It's not just about this. He's a bozo. He does shit every year. It's not even about the mandate. Kyrie always got something wrong with him.
He's a different type of nigga, bro. He's a different type of nigga.
Nigga up here doing sage, talking to KD on IG Live last year.
But see, but that be my thing that makes me think certain shit is performative. Because like with your spirituality, bro, that's private. Like, yeah. What the fuck are you in the middle of a 30,000 seat arena burning sage for?
Sage in the fucking air, nigga.
Come on, bro. That's for your house, my nigga. Like
that's why Hard wanted to leave. We in the fucking locker room and you got fucking sage there. Like the fuck is this?
This nigga burning sage, passing out motherfucking elderberry.
Kyrie's so bad he got me siding with James Harden.
And that's crazy.
This nigga James Harden ain't cared about shit, and they got me siding with James Harden. I'll tell you everything you need to know. So that's gonna be interesting to see. I'm just happy to watch KD on the court this week. I've missed watching KD play. He's one of my favorite players in the game, man. But let's talk about a team in the East. Talk about a team in the East that's really on fire right now. The Boston Celtics, man, have gone from pretty much mediocre to being 9 games over 500 now. They're in the sixth seed right now. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, man. And we're finally seeing Tatum and Brown be on the same level. But the thing to me that's standing out more than anything, they're playing defense. Yep. They're playing defense. They're getting back to the basics. And they look like an actual legit team. So my question for you, I think they'll stay somewhere in the 5 or 6 range. They could drop the 4th because I believe Cleveland's coming down to earth. Now, granted, Darius Garland's hurt. Caris LeVert is hurt. So I'll give them that. But anybody talks about fluky teams, nigga, look at Cleveland and Toronto. Them the nice stories. The Bulls ain't a nice story. Them the two nice story having ass niggas. So I wouldn't be shocked if Boston passes up Cleveland. But if they stay in that 5-6 range, do you think they can upset one of these top teams in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I think so. Just simply off the strength of Tatum and Brown. Like when you got two high quality wing players, that usually bodes well in today's NBA. And I think another thing, that was an under-the-radar move, them bringing back Tice. He's a really good defensive big in today's NBA. Like one of those guys that under the radar that a lot of analytics dudes love. But bringing him back to the fold, Marcus Smart, like you said, linchpin of the defense, and them actually being able to do that, and you have two people who can go get you 30 any game. So when you got two guys like that with the type of defense they play, it's always going to be an opportunity for you to knock somebody off. Yeah. And remember, like the last few years, they've been, a few years ago, we were asking if they were, going to win the East. Like,
yeah,
people well, had that type
they
of
took
hype.
They took the Cavs to 7 in 2018. Yeah. I still believe they'd have won that game. Maybe he dunked on LeBron, and then it's like Brad Stevens stopped giving Tatum the ball after that, which made no fucking sense. And LeBron does what LeBron does. So, I think they can upset a team. I think as far as upset a team, I think like they can give. Like I don't see them beating like Philly or like Milwaukee or I can see them beat Miami. And I think the Bulls would beat Boston, but it would be a long series.
It'd be six or
seven game series just because you got two elite guys in Tatum and Brown, and they play defense. The type of defense they play is a postseason type of defense. Yeah, they could definitely put some fear into them. But I don't think they'll beat like any of the legit championship contenders. But it's good to see them two actually playing on the same team because I just don't feel like when you got talent like that you should break them up. There's way too much smoke over that. So that's my take on the Celtics.
That was silly.
Yeah. I was silly on that. I just like to see them two playing together, man. So, we're actually going to talk about a little thing involving the Knicks. We're not actually going to talk about the Knicks team because the Knicks stink. And I don't know.
Bing bong.
Bing bong. I don't know whose season has been funnier, the Knicks or the Hawks. Because the amount of shit both fan bases were talking coming to this season was pretty fucking hilarious.
And but when I tell you, as a nigga who live in Atlanta, you know, I had to put the blinds down. I couldn't stunt on niggas like I wanted to. But you know, they were talking so crazy. And I was sitting here like, bro, did y'all watch the way the playoffs unfolded and the breaks y'all got that led y'all to that point? And then you played an overrated Knicks team who also came back to reality. So, like, I agree with you 100%. Like, that's been two seasons that have been really fun to watch. Or really, really funny to watch.
Yeah, really funny. But I will say one thing that I'm going to give the Knicks credit on. I think they might have a guy here. Now, RJ Barrett, for anybody who's listening to anything on my podcast or whatever, I have not been the biggest fan of him. I've actually coined the term Maple Marshawn Brooks. Like, I've come up with multiple names for this kid. But he right now is having a pretty good season. He's averaging 18 points per game, almost 6 rebounds a game. And let's take a look at every game he's had in the month of February. His last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. He had 24 on Sunday against Philly, along with 6 assists, 5 rebounds. 46. Now, by the way, all these games are losses, and this is not on RJ. All these games are losses, but he had 46 points.
That's funny too. And then now, by the way, they lost all these motherfucking games.
Yeah, by the way, just to be clear, they lost all these games. He had 46 points, 9 rebounds against Miami. Had a so-so game against Denver with 18, but he had 23 against Utah with 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 rebounds. 36 against the Lakers to also go 8 rebounds and 5 assists, and he had 23 against Memphis. My question to you is, do you think that the Knicks finally found a guy that they can build around, or is this just a little cool streak he's going through right now?
No, I actually like RJ Barrett. Like, RJ Barrett is one of the few bright spots on that team to me. I always thought that, you know, giving Julius Randle a max deal and, like, even attempting to build around him, that wasn't the move. So, like, having a guy like RJ and bringing in Cam Reddish, even though I think Rose and, you know, Wesley, everybody, they see what Tibbs doesn't see. It's like bringing another guy that's played with him before that he's familiar with. That's going to help that squad. So eventually, when they fire Tibbs and get a new coach in there and Cam Reddish starts playing with him, I think, you know, he'll play even better. But no, I think RJ Barrett is a player. He's a player. I know we talk about, you know, the whole one-dimensional playing with one hand. He does more with his right than Julius Randle does.
Everybody does more than Julius Randle. I watched Julius Randle for one game on Sunday, and I don't know how Knicks fans do that shit every night, because that shit is just like the nigga is a black hole.
I remember when I went to the game against the Hawks in the playoffs, it's like, oh, damn, bro really hasn't even attempted to do anything with his right hand, like, ever. Like, that's just not on his radar. That's not what he's trying to do. But no, with RJ, you've seen the growth that you want to see from a player year by year. And so that's why I say, you know, the Knicks, if they make any trades, you cannot get rid of RJ Barrett. You can't.
It would be dumb.
And the Knicks have done a lot of dumb shit, so I'm not shocked.
Right. Yeah, let's be very clear. This is the New York Knicks we're talking about.
Right. That's the guy you can't get rid of. But I think
RJ. Smart organizations, and then there's the Knicks. He won't even be 22 till June. So let's keep that perspective. I will say that despite all the negative things I said about it, I like what I've seen. I think it's pretty obvious to see they've given him the keys. I haven't seen him dribble this much since Duke. He looks confident in the shot. And to me, he has potential. I won't say he's a guy yet. I still want to see a little bit more. I still think I'm like a season away from actually – I want to see him do it for an entire year before I give him all that. But I like what I see. I like what I see, and I think if you're a Knicks fan, and thank God I'm not, but if you're a Knicks fan, at least you have something. When you're a bad team, you have to find something to watch. You know what I'm saying? When the Bulls sucked, it was like, okay, well, I can at least watch Zach LaVine dunk on a couple niggas. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? This at least gives you something to watch his progression, and if he does pan out to be a guy, that's great for the Knicks, because then you've got your star, and you just build around that. So I will be seeing him on Sunday. That's the only reason I'm going to the game on Sunday. To cover that game, because I really don't give a shit about the Knicks, but I want to see RJ up close. See, look, because it's different. You know, I'm getting my media member bag real quick. Like, I'm gonna get my pavion, as I like to say.
Yeah,
It's different when you watch these niggas in person. Like, absolutely. I've seen Steph on TV multiple times, but when I've watched these niggas the last two games, I've actually been to the game, especially the last game. Shout out to the Clippers, put me behind the basket against the Warriors. Watch this nigga in person is a different thing. that nigga is a freak of nature. So I want to get like a more of a bird's eye view of RJ to kind of see what that's about. So I'm looking forward to that. But you know, he's on my radar, which is good.
Yeah, now that's facts, G. Like being at games, because I know I've been in more NFL games than NBA games, but you get a different appreciation for it. Like, yeah, especially like you said, being behind the basket. Like anytime I was on the field, like during the fourth quarter and like watching plays, like that's why I know a lot of people shit on Drew Brees, especially like late career Drew Brees. But bro, right when I tell you when Drew Brees will hike the ball and them linemen stood up, that motherfucker would disappear, but that ball was coming out. But G, no, G, but that ball was coming out on time every rip. Hilarious. So you know Drew was a dude who was in there who was studying these plays. He knew where his receiver was going to be, and he was like, yo, I'm going to put it to this spot. You got to be there because I can't see your ass. Yeah. So shit like that really makes you appreciate
The game, man.
Athletes more. Like, yeah. It's like the fan aspect out of it. It's like, yeah, okay. And plus, you ain't got no announcer in your ear trying to tell you what to think.
And one thing I've learned is, you hear when you're watching the game, you actually hear the referees when they do a review. When you're in the stadium, you don't hear them. Exactly. You gotta wait till it's on the Jumbotron. So, and just saying, like, Giannis is a huge motherfucker, man. Like, Giannis is a big motherfucker. Like, you know, and you mentioned the football thing when I was covering the Bears this season. Remember the Monday night game against Pittsburgh? Yeah. And I'm watching the final field goal, and I see Abel my time, like, oh, so close. I'm like, nigga, he missed that shit by damn near a mile.
Yo,
so this shit you see when you're like that ball. I got up and was heading to the elevator. And still that shit left the nigga. I'm like, yeah, that's not going anywhere. So like shit like that you see. It's like that's why I'm laughing. Like when A-Rob said I wasn't open. I'm like, yeah, and A-Rob said I wasn't skiing. That's partially true, but nigga, you weren't getting open either. Like you can see from up there. So it's different views you get when you're covering the team. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing RJ, man. But let's go to the Western Conference. Got a couple Western Conference topics before we get to our weekly power rankings. My question is, this injury happened when we were on hiatus. Chris Paul out 6 to 8 weeks. That same thumb is becoming a pest for him. And like we've always said on this podcast, you know playoff time is around the horizon when Chris Paul gets injured. I don't know what this nigga did.
Fucking time.
And you know, Damian says this is karma for him hitting the nigga in the nuts when he was Wake Forest. And yes, he went to Wake Forest. Don't let this nigga fool you. He didn't go. This nigga wants you to believe he went to every HBCU ever. But anyway.
And no, so, I appreciate it. No, as a nigga who went to a HBCU, shout out to Morehouse.
Yeah, you went to one. You went to one. He didn't.
I appreciate, bro. It is kind of funny, but at the same time, we know we want to get that love out there. So shout out to
I want to get that love out there too. You went to HBCU. Deion's coaching the HBCU. This nigga went to Wake Forest. That's all I'm saying.
I ain't never seen him in no Wake Forest shit. That's the craziest part.
You ain't ever. Never seen it. Wake ever. Forest. You, I don't. I'm pretty sure he got his jersey retired there. I'm pretty sure he has his jersey retired.
Of course.
But it's like, anyway, I'm getting off subject. You know, whenever I have a chance to slander Chris Paul, I never miss out on that. But anyway, he's out 6 to 8 weeks. The Suns are 2-2 in the four games he's missed. But they are on a 2-game losing streak. They lost at home on Sunday to the Utah Jazz. My question for you is, how concerning is Chris Paul's injury?
That's extremely concerning. You know, 6 to 8 weeks, you know, that's, you know, pretty much the rest of the regular season. And when he comes back, is he going to be favoring that thumb? Like, is it one of those injuries that can be quickly re-injured? You know, some guys might be on some petty shit and be swiping directly on that thumb.
I don't know why niggas at the All-Star ain't going to do that. He went out there after a little ceremonial shit. Nigga, I would have smacked the fuck out there and accidentally.
Yeah, like a lot of old school cats would be like, no, we're going to go at that thumb.
Don't give a fuck with the All-Star game, nigga.
Right, so it's going to be interesting to see how he comes back. And I think it is something to concern because, like you said, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of young talent on that team. I do like Devin Booker, but without Chris Paul, that's a different basketball team.
Yeah, it's a different basketball team. I'm with you. I think it's concerning just because Chris Paul has a history of injuries. And this thumb has always been a problem. Even Chris even said it himself. He said, man, my thumb gets injured so damn much, my thumb surgeon is a part of my family. So this is a major concern. So it's not going to help. I don't think it's going to hurt them regular season-wise. They got a 6-game lead on Golden State. And Golden State out here letting Luka go on 24-1 runs. So,
bro, I went to sleep confident that the Warriors was going to win that game.
Bro, everybody was watching Euphoria. And then I seen somebody tweet, oh, just wait till niggas realize what the Warriors did when Euphoria goes off TV. So Euphoria went off, nigga. I was like, no, these niggas was up like 18. 24-1 runs.
They was
24-1 run. Let Luka and Spencer Dinwiddie go crazy. And I just want to say this about Luka. When Luka gets a top 15, another top 15 player around him, y'all are fucked.
Yeah.
That's how good this nigga is. When he gets any type of, because let's be real, he's surrounded by shit. Okay.
He makes it work. And he makes it fucking work. That's the scary part.
Yeah.
Like,
and like I think today's his birthday. Today is Luka's birthday. Happy birthday, Luka. You know, Luka. When he gets a top 15 talent, it's gonna be curtains for niggas. But as far as the Suns, they'll be fine regular season wise. They'll get the number one seed. I can't see Golden State going on a super run, same with Memphis. So they'll be fine in that. When it comes to, you know, that first round, like we don't know how much that's gonna be a factor. You know what I'm saying? You need a healthy Chris Paul to win the West and win the whole thing. Because the goal for the Suns isn't win the West. They won the West last year. They're trying to win the whole goddamn thing. So that to me is why it's concerning with that dunk. We don't really know how it's going to be when the playoffs come. We even see with Derrick Jones Jr. It's a pain tolerance thing. He grabbed his thumb every fucking play.
Yeah. I mean, Zach played through the beginning of the season with a thumb injury. So, yeah. You know, like you said, it's a tolerance thing. So if that gets re-aggravated then you during the playoffs, then what do you do? Like, how is he going to perform? Because we saw, fuck that, in the finals. His wasn't his hand fucked up in the finals?
Yeah, his hand was fucked up in the finals. And, you know, between that and Devin Booker going MIA is why they lost to them.
Yeah, so like you said, if he re-aggravates that injury at any point during the playoffs, you cooked because you see how that team performs without him.
Yep.
So, like, yeah, I'm definitely concerned, G.
Yep. Last topic before we get to our power rankings, man, the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies right now are third in the Western Conference, 42-20. They are 7-3 in their last 10. Ja just dropped 46 on our Chicago Bulls, had his fucking way out there. You know, my question for you with the Grizzlies, and by the way, I love Ja Morant and his Casamigos drinking, and he took a shot of Casamigos at the podium after the win against the Bulls. He said, this for y'all who said my last game was bad because I was drinking. So shout out to Ja. I love Ja.
That's hilarious, bro.
Ja really acts like a nigga named Demetrius, but yeah. Ja is amazing. Yeah. And you know, it was one of those things like I was watching, like, man, he kicking our ass, but I fuck with Ja. So my question to you is, do you think that people are kind of underestimating the Grizzlies when it comes to playoff time? Like, do you think they can actually, if they had to, can they beat like Golden State or Phoenix? Mm-hmm. Or this is just they still got a lot more way to go.
Yeah, I mean, people always underestimate the younger team until they actually prove something. So
yeah.
I'm not shocked that people are saying this, but I think they can beat them. They can just off the strength that the way that they play, not only the day that they play defense, but like you saw in that Bulls game, the Bulls were making tough ass buckets, like just trying to come back. And they always had an answer, bro. Like
every shot that DeMar and Zach hit was contested.
Yeah, and then we talk about coaching. Like even when the Bulls were trying to deny the pick and roll, they started setting picks for Steven Adams so he can go set a pick. And you know, it was just they know how to maneuver and get their guys their shots. So I think they definitely could have a chance to beat one of the top two teams.
Yeah, I give them a chance too, just because they play so physical. Like they play a physical brand of basketball that especially a team like Golden State, where they have Draymond or not. The Warriors don't like getting physical. Like, that's always been an issue with that. And it might be, you know, and as one of the leaders of the light-skinned nigga circle, it might be because a lot of light-skinned hoopers don't like getting physical. But that's fine. You know what I'm saying? That has something to do with it. But I also feel like they can be, like, just a little threat. Like, I don't know if they have enough to actually beat them, but I wouldn't be shocked if you're sitting here second round series and, you know, they're in a game seven in Phoenix. Or in San Francisco. I wouldn't be shocked. In a game seven, you don't want to face a nigga like Ja Morant. Ja got no fear.
Get your ass 50. Like.
Even on a smaller level, we saw what type of shit Ja brought to Steph in that play-in game last year. So that's the team. To me, they're dangerous. And just the fact they have a superstar like Ja and the way they defend, the way they rebound. I mean, Steven Adams had, 22 rebounds against the Bulls? It was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, we can't rebound to save our motherfucking life, though. But.
And that little 14-0 run, and I'll expand more on this as we in that 14-0 run, when we came back, why did we come back? Because Tristan was out there defending and rebounding. What did what the fuck did Billy do? Took him out the goddamn game.
Yeah, that's the coach being too dedicated to his rotation.
To his rotation.
Play the hot guy right now. We can't.
And I'm not saying bench Vooch.
Great rebounder. Right.
I'm not saying, but Vooch can play the four. Put Vooch the four. Put Tristan at the five. And in the playoff games, I want to see Zach, and I said, I want to see Zoe, Zach, Caruso, DeMar, one of them two, depending on what we're doing. If you're trying to be finesse, if you need rebounds, you got to put Tristan in there, man.
Yeah, so, you got to.
So that type of thing is why I think Memphis is dangerous, man. So I'm looking forward to see how they're going to play the stretch of the season, man. Now, I'm going to wrap this up. Our weekly top five power rankings for those of you. Glad people text me about this. These are weekly power rankings. This is not who I'm saying are the best teams in the league. This is a week-by-week thing. But right now, I'm mad I got to break these things down to niggas because my cousin, I love my cousin, but I have some of the most asinine basketball debates with him. When I say DeMar's MVP, oh, so DeMar's better than LeBron? Nigga, no. I'm saying he's having a better season. Right. That, I don't think DeMar DeRozan is, or ever was, or ever will be a better player than LeBron James. But he's having a better season. So this top five is weekly. Yeah. Just want to get that in. So I'm going to let you go first. Who you got on your top five power rankings?
Number five, I got the Denver Nuggets. You know, they've actually won six straight out of their last 12, you know, to bring them back into the sixth seed. Number four, I got Boston. Like we talked about them earlier. They've been hot. They also back into the sixth seed, 8-2 in their last 10. Three, I got Utah, the Utah Jazz, you know. Really not a fan of the Utah Jazz, and we talk about this all the time. They're like one of those really unexciting teams. You know, shout out to Donovan Mitchell. Hopefully you get out of there. Get out of Salt Lake, brother.
We're going to get you out of there.
We're going to get you out of there, brother. Get you somewhere else. I got Memphis number two. Like you said, 7-3 out of their last 10. They won their last game. You know, they smacked the Bulls. They didn't smack the Bulls, but like I said, they fought and fought the Bulls off and came away with a good victory on the road. And wait a minute. I put them twice. That was... I tweaked.
Nigga had a couple months.
I definitely. Number one, I got the Miami Heat. They won three in a row, 8 out of their last 10. And, you know, right at the top, you know, they were for a while, they were lingering in that fourth and fifth seed, but they were also dealing with injuries. But, you know, unlike the Bulls, they finally gotten healthy. And so you've seen them play really, really well together.
We have around the same amount. I got Denver in my 5-2 for all the reasons you named. He's six in a row. They're getting good news. Michael Porter Jr. is going to be clear for contact soon.
Hot back.
So that's you know, if he can stay healthy, that'd be a good pickup for them going to the playoffs. You know, Jokic is. I don't know what else to say about this dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I didn't appreciate Power letting Tommy kill Serbians on his show when we trying to build the Chicago Serbian connect and we trying to get Jokic over. I didn't appreciate that. But anyway, you know, I got them at five. Before I got Utah, like you said, I do not like watching this team play. Matter of fact, I only watched the fourth quarter of that game on Sunday just because I do not like watching this team play. But they are 8-2 in their last 10. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won two in a row, Donovan is hooping. And I've actually become – I can't believe this, but I'm actually, like, become a Rudy Gobert defender, and I'm very disgusted with myself. But the way that this guy plays game basketball defensively, and I feel like they need to give him more touches offensively, I think that would be the key to, like, take them to the next level, kind of. But it's Utah, and it's probably not going to ever happen. But three, I got Boston. For all those reasons we named earlier, they've moved into the top six. They lost this last game, but they're 8-2 in their last 10. They're hooping, so I got them at number three. Number two, I'm going with Miami. They're finally healthy. They've won three in a row. As of this point, we don't know if the Bulls actually will beat them. I hope they do, but they're 8-2 in their last 10, won three in a row. They've got 40 wins. They're a game up on the Bulls, so I got them number two. But I'm going to go with Philly number one, man. Philly, just because, you know, they've won three in a row. Yeah, they only 6-4 in their last 10, but they had a big win against the Heat. Not the Heat, against the Bucks right before the All-Star break. And to see just how Embiid has carried this team by himself and to add that Harden element to it and how they've just played well in these last two games, I'm going to put them at number one for my power rankings this week, man. So that's all we got for y'all today. Nice little jam-packed episode for y'all. We'll be back next week as usual. You're talking about the league. We'll be back every week leading up to the playoffs. And, of course, the playoffs will be here for y'all. We might do a couple playoff spaces. Don't know yet. I'm not the biggest fan of spaces, but my management has told me that I need to do spaces more. So
Clubhouse light.
Yeah, I will be doing more spaces. But shout out to y'all who joined us for our third pick spaces last week. I was gonna hit Dante up. I know he was on his golf trip being Tiger Woods. Yeah,
I was somewhere smacked, boy. Played golf, got drunk. That was literally the
that's
last
the life,
days.
Man. That's the life. I was actually decent. I haven't played golf in like 15 years, but I was pretty decent. If I felt like I dedicated to it,
I mean, it's one of those sports. It's the perfect sport for niggas in their 30s. Like, yeah. Cause I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm not getting out and playing basketball anymore. That's dead.
It's this rap.
You're not catching me. People too aggressive, trying to, you know, relive their glory days. They, you know, a lot of niggas don't know this. The number two cause of ER trips is basketball.
Yeah, every nigga think they can hoop. Never believe a nigga when they say how good they are to basketball or 2K and Madden. They are 9 times out of 10 lying. Yeah, man, I want to golf in my 40s. That's my plan. When I leave sports media and become a movie and TV giant, I'm just going to be smoking cigars. I'm going to get my mic, smoking cigars. But I'm going to drink water, unlike that nigga. But anyway, this has been episode 152, Ball Don't Lie. You know where to follow us on Twitter, at BarbChairScott, at OctoberZoneTay. Follow the network at BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon. If you are watching this right now, that means you're a $10 subscriber. We appreciate you for supporting this whole thing we do here at Barbers Chair Network. If you want to see the visual to these pods and to other pods and get our exclusive pods like Cinema of the Guys, then you need to subscribe to one of our three tiers. We got the Summer Sessions tier, which is $5, where you get everything Summer Sessions, including the videos that we just started doing. If you want everything, sign up for the $10 holler. You get everything that we do in all the tiers for the Barbers Chair All Access. And we've got a new tier, the 79th and Hallis tier. Me and my brother Flo's, we got some off-season content coming for y'all. The first episode of 79th and Hallis Presents, where it is a show where we break down, we give live reactions to classic Chicago Bears games. We break down the Arizona game from the 06 season, the game that Denny Green said they are who they thought they were. That game, we breaking that down. That episode, the first episode this week will be free. But after this week, those episodes, subscribe, you know, for that, for the $5 holler, for the 79th Hallis tier, if you want all of it, $10. So patreon.com/barbers chair network, support black business, support your boys, man. We gonna holler at y'all niggas next week. We out.